Unit 1, Recording 2.
I've come to King's College London to talk to Dr. Jennifer Jenkins, who's a senior lecturer in applied linguistics. Now, Jennifer, you're quite interested in the teaching and learning of international English. Can you explain in general terms what this is?
It's based on the fact that nowadays the majority of people who speak English around the world are non-native speakers of English. They've learnt it as a second or subsequent language. They use it to speak with each other, and therefore they're not really learning what's always been called English as a foreign language. English to speak to native speakers of English, they're learning it for more international communication. And that has all sorts of implications for the sorts of things that they need to be able to do.
So what would be the main differences between the kind of English that's widely taught around the world today and perhaps what you describe as a more international form?
Well, there'd be various differences. There'd be differences in what they need to be able to do when they're pronouncing English. There would be some differences in the grammar. There'd be some differences in use or not of idioms.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that's widely taught when teaching English that would be missed out in international English?
Yes, I think, for example, that there doesn't seem to be much point in teaching learners to say the th, the th and the sounds, because most of the world's learners of English, speakers of English who are non-native speakers, don't pronounce a th.
And what is the thinking behind the idea of international English?
Well, there are two things. One is that the more different groups of people around the world speak English, the more important it becomes to make sure that they have enough in common so that they can understand each other, that they're intelligible to each other. And here, pronunciation is very important because their pronunciation is the thing that will vary most among different speakers of English. And the second thing would be that now that English is spoken as an international language, nobody owns it anymore. The native speakers of English don't own it, and so don't have the right to expect everybody else around the world, when they speak English, to conform to native speaker ways of speaking, that everybody has the right to develop their own ways of speaking English.
So what would you say are the advantages for students and teachers of this form of English?
Well, one advantage would be that they actually have rather less to do, rather less to learn, because instead of trying to learn the entire way of speaking of a native speaker, which is incredibly complicated, and most learners never do achieve this in any case, so they've got less to do, but they're also allowed to keep something of themselves in their English. They're speaking English as, say, a Japanese speaker of English, or an Arabic speaker of English, a Spanish speaker of English, and therefore they are allowed to be themselves in English.
Right. And how do you see English being learnt and spoken in, say, 30 years' time? How do you feel it will have changed?
Well, the English that's being spoken internationally, I think, for example, will have no longer, say, British-based or American-based idiomatic language, because this is not useful for international communication, so that will have gone. I think that quite probably the nouns that we call uncountable nouns, like information and so on, will have become countable nouns for international use. I expect in Britain we'll carry on talking about information as a piece of information, but quite possibly the rest of the world will be saying three informations without treating it as an uncountable noun. I think quite likely the third person singular S in the present simple tense will have gone for international use. I think in pronunciation, I think the th sound will have gone, and possibly the sound as well. Most learners will say instead of th, will say a s or a t, as most of them do anyway at the moment, but it would just be legitimate then.
There must, on the other hand, be students who will want to speak English the way that they perceive it to be spoken in Britain or America. And so what would you say to them?
Well, I'd say, first of all, I'd want to explain the facts to them, the fact that they are the majority, that the non-native speakers of English are the majority, and having explained that, and also the fact that they're much more able to express themselves, who they really are, their identity in English, if they keep something of their background, of their mother tongue, I would then say that we can't patronise learners, that if learners still want to learn to speak as closely as possible to a native speaker, say a British or American English, it's their choice. And the important thing is to give learners choices so that they can make up their own mind what it is they want to do.
Well, Dr. Jenkins, thank you for talking to me about that. It'll be interesting to see how far things change.